On this episode of the Formula Phone Podcast, Caitlin and I review the Styrian Grand Prix, not the Austrian Grand Prix, make no mistake, the Großer Preis der Steiermark, I think, or something like that, where we see another 1-2 for Mercedes as Lewis Hamilton is never challenged from the front. Verstappen and Red Bull struggle to mount an attack from second place. Midfield battles rage and Ferrari embarrass themselves again. Stick around for the review. This is the Formula Phone Podcast. Sweet. Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Oh, thanks, babe. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, 1 year. Pretty great.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it. 60 more to go or whatever.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. So, firstly, let's just get to the most important thing of the weekend. Let's start hot. Oh, I just hit my ankle bone on my chair.
Oh,
that hurts. That hurts. Okay, yeah, I'm going to leave recover. That in. I'm not editing that out.
It's real. It's gritty.
Oh, what just happened? I just bumped the table. Okay, maybe I will edit that out. So Leclerc was paparazzi'd.
Yeah, I tried to find the pictures and I couldn't find him.
At a nightclub,
I think.
Did
you see the pictures?
No, I haven't seen the pictures. I just read about it.
I was just like, I want to see Leclerc paparazzi pictures.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that sounds exciting. He seems like, like he would be the guy that would get paparazzi'd, kind of.
Yeah, he's they invented that.
It's an Italian word. Paparazzi.
Yeah, right. They're like vicious.
Paparazzi.
Yeah.
I think that's how you say it, probably.
Yeah, so.
But no, but for real though, so Leclerc and Bottas, less likely to be paparazzi'd, probably.
Yeah, he's like, please.
Probably not terribly recognizable outside Formula One circles, no. Bottas, but they broke their bubbles.
Yeah, so they weren't supposed to leave Austria?
No, they weren't even supposed to leave like their like little, I guess,
hotel.
Yeah. And so the way it's organized is in the teams, like teams and then within teams, like you're organized into what they call bubbles. They're actually calling them bubbles, you know? And so like the drivers are a bubble, like Lewis and Bottas can hug. Bottas and his engineers can hug, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like Bottas's engineers can't hug Lewis's engineers.
Oh, forbidden love.
Yeah. And so like that's how strict they are. You know, yeah, like they can't even cross garages.
Like each Lewis's driver's team.
Each driver has a bubble. Then the drivers are a bubble, and then like the engineers are a bubble, and then like the team is a bubble. So there's bubbles within bubbles,
that makes
right?
sense.
And so to leave and go fly back to Monaco and like boom, 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 go to a nightclub.
That's like American levels of
disregard for the well-being and life of other people.
The pandemic, yes.
Yes, exactly. It's really, not really controversial, but I don't know. I mean, it looks really bad for Leclerc. And for Ferrari, I guess. And it could have been so severe that he was banned from the race. They didn't. They gave him a written warning, kind of like a slap on the wrist.
Okay, yeah.
You know, but they could have just like banned him from the race.
And he could have tested. I'm guessing they had to test them all again.
They're like constantly tested.
Yeah,
I think they've already done like 6,000 total tests this week.
I mean,
week.
Just to risk getting a positive test.
Right. I know. It's
like if you have one
really
job.
Really immature.
Yeah.
And I mean Ferrari's struggling mightily this season, but imagine that they weren't, and imagine they were like in second place in the championship and you know they really needed a win, and then he comes back and they ban him from the race and he can't race, and obviously that would have been a much greater penalty rather than just, you know, being banned from the race. You could have cost your team a win in a championship potentially. So anyway,
that's not gonna be a problem
this year. Speaking of Ferrari though, another bit of Ferrari news, and we'll get into this when we get into the review of the race a little bit, but remember they were going to update their car for Hungary?
Yeah.
They went ahead and brought some of those updates to this race.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And as we will see in a minute, they did not really get to see how good those updates were.
No, they did not.
But that was a little bit of news prior to the race. Ferrari fast-forwarded some of their updates.
Okay.
Another bit of pre-race news, which was really exciting, was the qualifying, where it was just pouring down rain, which was really, really cool, because a couple of things happen when it rains like that. The cars obviously have less traction on the road. You know, the cars don't stick to the road quite as well.
That sounds terrifying.
I know. So scary. So unbelievably scary. But because the cars don't stick to the road quite as well, the engine power is not quite as important, which ultimately means that driver skill kind of matters a lot more. So it's kind of like a neutralizing factor of the rain. And so you really get to see like the best drivers, who really are the best drivers, specifically best drivers in the rain. So like Max, Lewis, and then a couple of people surprised us, like Gasly was running near the top of the field for a while. Sainz qualified third.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
And then you also saw some people do surprisingly poorly, like both Racing Points qualified way down at the bottom of the field. So a lot of the talk is, well, you can imitate a Mercedes car, but that doesn't mean you know how to use it.
Right.
You know, well, I can copy the car and draw it from pictures, but when it rains, what do we do when it rains? I don't know. Mercedes know what to do with their car when it rains.
Right.
But Racing Point might not. So, like, Sergio Perez qualified 17th and Lance Stroll 15th or something. Like, really, really poor qualifying. But it was extremely exciting. Damon Hill, I'm pretty sure it was Damon Hill. I tried to look up this quote before the pod, and I couldn't find it. Damon Hill's a former world champion and British driver, drove in the 90s with Senna, and I think maybe he drove against Schumacher too at some point. I don't remember exactly his age range, but he's still around. He did an interview recently where he said driving in the wet like that, as they say in Britain, we would say driving in the rain, they say driving in the wet, is like that feeling when you tip back in your chair as a kid and you tip back too far and you reach that point where you go, huh! And you're about to fall. And then you have that like feeling in your gut, you know, and you catch yourself real quick. But there's that instant where you're like, I'm going to die. Oh my God. Oh yeah. You know? And he said, it's like that for 2 hours.
Right. Oh yeah. I know. That's kind of what I imagine. I mean, you have to have nerves of steel.
Yeah. And it's a psychological competition because you're on that. You have that feeling of, oh my God, 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 constantly catching the car and constantly almost hydroplaning for 2 hours. And it's just like, who can psychologically and emotionally last doing that before you just get too mentally exhausted and you make a mistake and you just go so slow. You're just like, I can't do this. I have to slow down.
And like a simulator could never, you can't like drive a sim and get that feeling. Right.
Well, you can simulate the rain on a simulator for sure, realistically, but you can't simulate the danger, obviously. There's no way you can sit in a racing simulator and simulate the fear.
Right.
I'm going to die if, you know, well, maybe not die. Of course, that's hopefully not going to be the case anymore. But so wet qualifying, super, super, super exciting. I want to tip my hat to Michael Massey, who is the new race director, for going ahead with qualifying in the rain. You know, like I think they probably could have called it off, but you know, it's kind of old school.
Yeah.
To say we're going to do it. You know, these cars are built to drive in the rain too. And man, super crazy. Hamilton was 1.2 entire seconds faster than the next fastest car, which was Verstappen.
Yeah,
which is like video game style.
Voted for the race itself.
Right. He was also much quicker in the race than everyone, but it just, Hamilton is known for being an especially fast driver in the rain.
Okay.
And Verstappen looked like maybe he was going to challenge him, and then on his very last lap, he lost the car and spun. I think we were watching that together. But even if he had completed that lap, he still would have been like over half a second slower than Hamilton. So
Toto Wolff
said that Hamilton's lap was not of this world.
Nicht
von diesem Welt.
Wow.
Auf Deutsch.
Yeah.
Speaking of Auf Deutsch, I it was interesting to me grammatically. I'm going to talk about German grammar for a second.
Great. That's what people tune in for.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it to under 20 minutes. last week was the Großer Preis, Grand Prix from, literally, you know, of, we would say of, Österreich, Austria. Mm-hmm. Von being a dative preposition. Okay?
Okay.
This week, it was the Großer Preis der Steiermark.
Why is it different?
It's genitive. It's like of the. Uh-huh. Kind of like der Herr der Ringe, like, the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So I was just a little different. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, prepositions are wild.
And it maybe have something to do with, because it's like a region of the Steiermark, you know, instead of like, I don't know. There's a little bit of a different implication.
Right.
You know? So, anyway, they did that.
Yeah, region versus a
So, von Österreich, der Steiermark. Okay. And I think it's Steiermark. I'm saying that over and over and not entirely sure that's exactly how you say
Steiermark. If you just say it enough, it becomes true.
In German. Austrian German. Okay, so a couple more things before we get to the actual teams before the race. I did also want to mention one of the interesting things about driving in the rain, by the way, is you have to find the traction.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, obviously, if the track is dry, there's an ideal racing line.
Yeah.
There's a fastest racing line, right? You'll hear them just refer to it as the racing line, right?
Yeah.
But if the track is wet, then the traction moves back and forth based on where the water rests on the track. And so you have to get off of the racing line and kind of move your car around and take different lines, maybe even every lap. To quote unquote
How do you
find.
Know?
I don't know. Lewis knows.
Maybe he is not of this world.
I know.
Let's get the ancient alien people on
Yeah.
This.
I know. Seriously. Aliens. So that's part of the skill. Max and Lewis are particularly good at that. Just finding the grip, taking the wet line. Sometimes they call it the karting line.
You
have to take
I heard
a wider
that
line.
On the podcasts, the other podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We're listening to the podcasts on the way home from our staycation. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay. So a couple other things before we get to the race. One, the drivers knelt again or kneeled.
Oh, they're still doing that?
Another grammar issue there.
Are they going to do that the whole season?
We don't know. I mean, that's part of the reason
like,
it's
a
discussion.
Until racism
you know?
Is solved.
Yeah. And there was a little bit of, chatter on the Twitters because, I know, of course, because, they were filming the drivers kneeling and some of the team members kneeled too. Or knelt, whichever one, and all of the Mercedes team kneeled.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis said he didn't ask them to do it; they just did it. So whatever.
It was
not
like
trying to make a big deal out of this. It's just newsworthy
or
whatever. And then the TV cameras cut away from it to show skydivers diving down into the stadium.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people were like, come on man, we're trying to make this a big deal and all the drivers are kneeling down.
And then
they're like, look, a parachutist or parachute, I don't know the word for that. But according to the race director and everything, it was that was a the kneeling wasn't planned. That wasn't part of the TV program, you know. So they were just showing the skydivers were part of the TV program.
Yeah.
You know, there's a part where they're 3, 2, 1, cut to the skydivers. You can't improvise that kind of thing.
I believe
that
seems.
So anyway, there was a little bit of an uproar about that. They're like, show the drivers kneeling, man. That's kind of the whole point. We don't care about the skydivers. Anyway, that's just the whole kneeling
race
thing.
Is kind of, I mean, it must be so hard for the camera people to kind of get all the action, but you know there are actually I thought that several points in this race I wanted to see the other thing, you know, they cut away too soon or they're not showing like, but the action, but I can appreciate that it'd be really hard for them.
I'm sure it is. That is a big issue. That has been an issue. Yeah. Especially with Formula One TV trying to make the races more accessible to everybody. It's like, we don't want to watch this. We want to see this. And you know, they're a lot of the stuff you have to end up seeing on replay because they don't have it live. And of course it's really hard and you don't always know exactly when, you know, something intense is going to happen, but sometimes it is pretty obvious. Like, okay, Ricardo and Ocon are battling for the last two laps. Like, we want to watch that. We don't care about like Verstappen driving in second place by himself or whatever.
Right. You know? Yeah. So, yeah. Like maybe they focus too much on what's happening in the front. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course there were four drivers who didn't kneel. I know who the drivers who didn't kneel are now. I'm not trying to like call them out or anything, but it is kind of Leclerc did not kneel again. Kvyat did not kneel. Kvyat's from Russia. He's going to wake up with a horse head in his bed if he kneels.
Or something like that.
You know, or worse. Right.
Oh my God.
Raikkonen did not kneel.
Okay. He's probably not a participator. Yeah, yeah.
Raikkonen is just not a participator.
He probably doesn't even know what's going on.
No, he's just like, when do we start racing? I need to go get back on my yacht.
Yeah, go dirt biking.
Yeah. So Raikkonen did not kneel and Max did not kneel.
Well,
so
why not?
I don't know. At this point, like last week, I was kind of like, yeah, don't kneel or kneel. That's not really the point. It shouldn't really be. But now I'm kind of thinking if it isn't just a big deal, then just kneel.
Yeah. I mean, only four of them. It seems like, yeah, at that point, like just do it.
Yeah. I don't know. So.
But whatever.
Anyway. Okay, one more thing, and this is kind of a big deal and interesting. Renault, as opposed to racism, which, yeah, no, Renault have officially protested the what's it called?
Racing point. The pink Mercedes.
Mm. So, two things about that. One, they have lodged an official protest because of how good the pink Mercedes is.
They're
and
too good.
Two, yeah. The stewards or the FIA or whoever it is that's going to hear the protest has decided to actually hear it. You know, like they could have just thrown it out. So that's like how far it's developed as of our recording.
Okay.
It centers around their brakes or their brake ducts specifically. I think maybe they could have like chosen a part of the car and been like, look at this part of the car. They're not allowed to have that. That is exactly the same part as the Mercedes from last year. That's illegal. And so what they've done is they've been like, okay, Mercedes, you give us your brake ducts from last year so we can see them.
Mm-hmm.
Racing Point, you give us your brake ducts from this year so we can see them. Mm-hmm. And they're going to like literally just look at them and be like, yep, they're exactly the same or
and
they're
I guess
not.
That's like not something you could see from a picture of the car. So
we'll see. I guess not. I don't know.
I mean, it must be like an internal component.
They're semi-internal. They're easier to see when the wheels are not on the car. The brake drums, brake ducts.
Okay.
So that's happening. Renault protest. And it'll be really interesting to see. Honestly, I mean, I don't feel super strongly about Racing Point having blatantly cheated. I'm just kidding. I don't feel super strongly about the whole pink Mercedes thing. But now that like Renault's protesting and it might turn it like I'm down for the drama.
Yeah, sure.
I'm
why
way
not?
Down. I mean, how interesting would it be if Racing Point, which now looks like it might be faster than Red Bull. Sergio Perez was as like one of the fastest cars today or not today, obviously, but yesterday, whenever the race was, who knows what day it is. It's quarantine. If all of a sudden they had to change their car mid-season. Or their car
became
illegal.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, if the board or whatever rules against them, then, like, what? They're like, okay, you can't have that car anymore.
Maybe they have to use last year's car or something.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. So, that's pre-race news. And I thought we'd just go through the teams like we did last week,
sure,
one by one. Top to bottom or whatever, you know, fastest to slowest-ish. Beginning, of course, with Mercedes.
Yeah.
Because they dominated again.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, this whole race just seemed more like by the book, or, you know, like on par for what you would expect, which,
right.
So of course, yeah, Mercedes 1-2, not as exciting for me. I guess, you know, just the last race was, you know, had shenanigans. I never want, you know, there to be like crashes or anything, but it right. just, it was fun to, I like unexpected results. So yeah. I was a little bit more bored this race.
At the front with Hamilton, Verstappen, and Bottas 1-2-3, or yeah. no, the other way around.
Yeah,
Hamilton,
right.
Bottas, Verstappen 1-2-3. It is predictable.
Yeah, but you're right. The midfield was exciting.
Thrilling
yeah.
this week again. If only we could have that be the race for first place. That would be
yeah.
really cool. But whatever. You have to hand it to Mercedes again for like solving all the issues they had last week. You know, they
yeah,
had
true.
Like 3 or 4 days to figure out how to fix the issues with their gearbox because they're running over the curbs.
Get a couple zip ties and kind of like...
A little bit extra hot glue or whatever yeah. they needed onto the gearbox.
Sensor box, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought it was... kind of fascinating that I think, if I understood correctly, what was happening was as they were running over the curbs,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you go over bumps in your car, it kind of creates like a hum because it's like bup, 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 bup.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going fast enough, that yeah. hum becomes like a brrr, you know, like
mm-hmm.
a scent, like almost like a note,
mm.
you know, and like that note, that resonance was like just the perfect resonance to like shake the gearbox out of tune or something
what?
Like that. I don't know how to describe, but it was like shaking the gearbox apart because it was like,
mm-hmm.
you can imagine like,
well, just a vibration.
I know, but
yeah.
it would, but I think the way that that works mechanically is like, it has to be the right, like it can't be too high or too
frequency.
Low. Yeah. Yeah. Frequency. That's the word I'm looking for.
Huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds
I don't know.
Mystical.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I could be totally wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that's.
So then maybe they got some crystals or something. To...
Yeah. They sprinkled some holy water on the car or something. I don't
yeah.
know. So basically, to summarize Mercedes' race, Hamilton dominated from the front.
Yeah. It was like Hamilton, and then he's just having his own party.
Hamilton was having
else.
His own race. Verstappen was second for a long time in the race, and then his strategy just kind of didn't work out for him, where Bottas was able to overtake him towards the end. He also just was in a slower car.
Do you
we'll
think
get to that.
His pit strategy, you know, he was kind of upset about it, but do you
yeah.
think in the end that's what... messed him up, or
well,
could
he
it have done
said
better?
No to that question.
Okay,
because
it seemed like he was upset at first, but then it kind of seemed
he
like
did.
A
he
good
was like,
strategy.
Why did we pit? Why did we pit? You know,
yeah.
so early. And the reason that they did pit so early is because they were trying to protect against the undercut from
mm-hmm.
Bottas.
Right.
This is kind of combining our Red Bull and Mercedes summaries, but that's
okay.
Whatever. Who cares?
Whoa.
Oh, hey, Hugo. Because Albon was so far behind,
mm-hmm.
it was basically Max versus both Mercedes.
Right.
And so when you don't have your teammate to help you, you have to kind of protect against the overcut from Hamilton and the undercut from both. So you're
wow.
kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't
mm-hmm.
a little bit. And so they had to protect against Bottas. And okay, so to answer your question, Max just basically said no. He said that his car was just too slow. And it really didn't have anything to do with the pit strategy. I mean, had his car been more competitive, maybe he still would have lost out to Bottas in the end. But anyway, so yeah, no, I don't think, to answer your question, no, I don't think that's why.
Yeah, okay.
Bottas is still first in the World Drivers' Championship rankings. So Bottas
okay.
leads the championship
good
at this
for
point.
Him.
Do you think Bottas has a chance of winning the championship this year?
I guess maybe, but probably not. I mean, Lewis is just going to beat him.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless something, I mean, yeah, of course there is a possibility. I think it's more likely Lewis will win.
Right.
Still.
Right.
But it is a short season, so like everyone was saying, like
ahead.
We could have unexpected results. So
yeah, Lewis has a couple of, you know, maybe he gets wrecked, or maybe he
like his car
has a failure.
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
exactly. So yeah, to move on to Red Bull, they looked like they were going to be the only real challenge to Mercedes today
mm-hmm.
in the form of Verstappen. He, like I said, he just said he was too slow.
Yeah, well, he did awesome. Good job, yeah, Max.
He did awesome. I mean, when you compare him to his teammate again,
and we can talk Albin a little, was like,
Albin was way slower than Max today.
Really? I thought he came like fourth.
He came fourth, but he almost got passed by a racing point right at the end of the race. That's how Perez broke his wing right at the end of the race. Perez went for an overtake against Albin and nudged him and broke his wing almost in the exact same way that Hamilton wrecked him.
Yeah. I mean, Albin's like hanging in there. He's not like Gasly levels.
He's not
bad.
Gasly levels yet, but he was consistently much slower than Max all day.
I mean, everyone's going to be slower than Max.
That's everyone. I mean, would Bottas be that slow?
Yeah, right. Of course, not everyone.
Be that slow? I know, but that's the question. Because that is the question, is that now Red Bull has left themselves where they don't really have any options besides
Seb.
Exactly. Maybe Sebastian.
That'd be so fun.
Yeah. And there's rumors, of course, already because Seb and Red Bull go way back.
Does Albin not, has he not been re-signed officially?
I don't really know what his contract situation is.
Okay.
Honestly. But again, he's not at Gasly levels yet, but they are sort of already facing the situation where if Albin cannot run with Max and work as a teammate, if they can't work as teammates and battle together against Mercedes, then that just nullifies the whole point of having a second driver in the first place.
Yeah, Max has been kind of left in the out in the open.
Right, hanging
for a
out
lot
to dry.
Since Ricardo left, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even
absolutely.
Then they were just like fighting each other.
Yeah, yeah. It goes to show how fast Daniel is,
like,
too.
If he had a Bottas, maybe he'd be...
Right, they need somebody that if Max can't, like if Max doesn't finish, like he has engine failure like he did last week, they need somebody that's gonna, and to Albin's credit, it looked like he was gonna finish on the podium last week, but Max said after the race too, they were down on power. They weren't powerful enough, which is kind of damning for Honda, because this was the year that the Honda engine was supposed to be even more powerful, more reliable, so it'd be interesting to see how that... It's not like he was calling him out, but it was a little awkward where drivers have to say stuff like that. They're like, our car was too slow. We didn't have the power down the straights, you know? And then the engineers are in the background listening to the interview like, our bad, you know?
Yeah.
We'll get right on that, you know?
I guess they're probably used to it.
Yeah. So that's just comes with the nature of the sport a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So any other thoughts about Red Bull? You think they should sign Sebastian?
I think that'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think he would be, is he good enough still?
I guess the thing is he wouldn't be able to play second fiddle, or he wouldn't help Max out. He'd just like spin around and crash people. And
maybe.
If, you know, this season and last season is any indication.
Right. True. So speaking of Sebastian and speaking of spinning around and crashing people, the next team on our list is...
Ferrari.
Oh man.
Yeah, I guess another thing about this race is I like the races generally to have more than like 5 seconds of Ferrari action.
True.
So that was also disappointing.
Yeah, and that is something that Martin Brundle and the like Crofty and the pundits were talking about on during the race was, man, just doesn't it feel different when Ferrari's not part of Formula One?
Yeah.
When you have to run a whole race and there's no red cars on the track.
Not that they would have been competitive anyway. Well, I guess we don't know with the new
car. I mean, they
would
have been racing against the McLarens, and they would have been racing against the Racing Points, and they could have just been mixed up in that awesome midfield battle, which would have just made it even more exciting.
Yeah, and
I mean,
Seb's,
they don't
like,
want to be in the midfield
last
but...
season.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge, huge bummer. Huge shame.
So the reason that they were not in the race is because on the very first lap, on the third turn,
that was the first lap.
Charles Leclerc just sends it down the inside into a gap that was always going to close on him. He sends it in like there's already three cars going into the turn, and he flies up onto the curb.
He just drives over Sebastian's car.
Yeah, his car like flew up onto Sebastian's car, and like in it looked like Grosjean-esque, you know? And like, in fact, like if another driver had done that, I have a feeling a lot of people would have been way more critical of it.
Yeah,
because people just love
Charles Leclerc. A little talking to.
He was very hard on himself.
Yeah, I saw his little message on Instagram.
Yeah, he's like, it was my fault and I'm so sorry, but sorry doesn't count. It's not good enough. And like, he's gotten a lot of attention for how hard he is on himself.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
I'm not really sure how I feel about that. I think it's good. I think my gut tells me like it's the right thing to do. I don't know how sustainable it is. Like, I don't know if it's like a shtick. Or if I don't think it is. I think he's probably genuine about it.
It's hard for me to place myself in their shoes, but if I were a Formula One driver, I would feel compelled to do the same. I guess the same thing. Like, to me, I understand it. Like, I'm like,
being,
yeah, I would
being
want
really hard on yourself.
Well, just because like he's already online and he posts stuff online, you know, it makes sense that like if Seb messes up, you don't see a statement or anything because he's just private anyway.
Right.
So, but if you're already going to be like online, you're going to be posting other stuff, then it makes sense that you're also going to, if you're going through, I don't know, does that make sense? Like, it would make sense to kind of be open about when you mess up as well as when
sure.
you are celebrating something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no other reaction you could have.
Well, he just screwed over his team.
Exactly. The number one rule is just don't crash into your teammate. And he not only crashed into his teammate, he crashed into his teammate recklessly, dangerously, destroyed both of their races on the very first lap. And that's another thing, too. On the very first lap, you have to be really conservative. Or you don't have to be. You're probably not going to win or lose the race on the first lap.
Right. You have everything to lose.
And very little to gain.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but then again, if you're in a Ferrari car that's not very competitive or less competitive, maybe you do have to make up 3 or 4 places on the very first lap. So that's...
Well, don't do it like that.
Yeah. So anyway, Ferrari, really embarrassing weekend for Ferrari. They were slow in qualifying in the wet. Qualified down like 11th and 14th again.
Ugh,
shame.
Then
wrecked into each other. Leclerc went flying into his teammate. Now the drivers are like upset at each other too. You know, Sebastian.
They've got beef.
Yeah, that of course. I mean, Sebastian wasn't like super critical of Charles, but he definitely just like laid the blame on Charles.
Okay, look. He kind of owed him one. I mean, Seb's messed up Charles's race.
He has in Brazil last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, come on, guys.
Yeah, and if you go back to Brazil, that was only 4 races ago.
Right.
So they've wrecked into each other now in 50% of the races. If you, well, I mean, that's,
what?
I'm cherry picking statistics here.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, if you go back to Brazil last year, it's been 4 races and they've wrecked into each other twice.
And it was then that was Sebastian's fault.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, come on. I wouldn't be. Yeah. He can't be like, oh, it's
no,
unforgivable.
But he didn't say anything like that. He just said, like, you know, I had 2 cars on the outside and I haven't really worked on my Sebastian.
Good.
I mean, it's German. So, you know, you just go for your standard German accent a little bit. You know, so I had 2 cars on the outside and I had to, there was space on the inside, but it was always going to go away. And, I don't know. I need to work on my Seb.
He's just he doesn't have a characteristic voice. It's pretty normal.
I don't. But I'll work on it.
Okay.
I'll get back to you. So, another damaging.
Stay tuned. We'll roll that.
Stay tuned for my Sebastian. I'll do a whole podcast of just impressions of all the drivers.
That would be awesome.
So one of the worst parts of the whole weekend for Ferrari was, like you mentioned, they brought updates.
Yeah.
And if you race twice at the same circuit, once with one car, once with an updated car, it's the perfect opportunity to see how well your updates work. And so they could have had 71 laps of an updated car to be like, did it work? How did it work? What adjustments do we need to make? And instead, they just don't have any of that data now.
Yeah, like they should have had it. The driver should have had it in their mind. Charles should have had it in his mind that like this race isn't really about like winning or not. This race is like data collection.
Almost, yeah. Yeah, so that's really, really bad. I don't know how long to go. I mean, we could have a whole podcast about just the horrible, horrible situation Ferrari's in right now. And where do you lay blame? How much longer is Mattia Binotto going to last? You know, he doesn't seem like he's taken.
How long has he been?
This is his second year.
Oh, he's new.
Yeah. Remember that guy Maurizio Arriva Bene? He looked like the most stereotypical Italian guy, the slicked back gray hair.
Oh, yeah. You know? Did he have like open shirt?
Yeah. 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 Like vaguely. Handsome Italian guy. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't want to go on and on about it, but I just feel like the situation is so bad at Ferrari right now that we could go for another 30 minutes about just the embarrassing nature of the team and where things are.
Let's just see how Hungary goes.
Yeah, and apparently they're supposed to be faster in the slow corners, and Hungary's kind of a twisty, turny, slow corner track that's not as reliant on engine power like Austria is, okay, like the Red Bull Ring is. So they say that, you know, we'll see.
It was like the opposite of last year when weren't they like fast in the straights? Right,
and remember they were going for like a new concept this year where we're going to add downforce to the car. Cheat. Right, exactly. And yeah, I mean, we'll get to that when we talk about Haas and Alfa Romeo, but all of the Ferrari-powered cars are slower than they were last year. Mm-mm. Whereas like the whole nature of Formula One is to get faster every year. Like they have a whole year to get faster. Yeah, and they've gotten slower.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough about Ferrari. Let's talk about an exciting team. McLaren.
Yeah.
Really awesome. Again for McLaren. Sainz qualifies third. Has a bad pit stop. Remember he had like a 30-second pit stop or something. Maybe what? Not literally 30 seconds, but like a really long pit stop where it his left long, rear tire wheel. Wouldn't go on. Mm-hmm. Right. And he ended up finishing ninth. I'm not exactly sure. I think just because of the pit stop, his strategy ended up getting kind of blown. Mm-hmm. And so Norris ended up on a better strategy. And remember, they switched him
late in the
race.
That's right.
Which ended up being a great call strategically because Norris ends up on faster tires than Stroll and Ricciardo, ends up passing Stroll and Ricciardo and Perez on the last lap. On the last two laps, I guess. Extremely exciting.
Yeah, Norris is having a good good go.
Norris is third in the championship.
Oh, I'm so proud of him.
I know, he's doing so good. And I almost said Hamilton. McLaren is second in the Constructors' Championship right now.
Oh, wow.
Now, they are 41 points behind Mercedes. Mercedes has 80 points and McLaren has 39.
But they're still second. Oh my God.
I know. Isn't that insane? That's how far ahead Mercedes already are in the constructors. They've already like locked it up two races into the season. It's insane. But so another extremely exciting day for McLaren. I'm so happy for Norris. I like him more and more all the time. I like McLaren more and more all the time. They seem to have a great team.
I do.
I like Andreas Seidel a lot.
Sure.
You know, Zach Brown, CEO. They just have a really likable team and a team culture that I'm super supportive of. And it is really intriguing to watch Norris beat Sainz.
Yep.
He's leading Sainz in the championship. He's beat Sainz in two straight races. Sainz did out-qualify him. So qualifying, they're 1-1. But Sainz is leaving a team that is on the up and up, that it will have Mercedes engines next year, that you have to assume will just be even better next year, unless it's just something goes wrong with in implementing those Mercedes engines, which it very well could. That's not the easiest thing to do in the world, just change engines. All of a sudden, you have to change a lot about your car.
Seems like.
And then he's watching Ferrari just lay an egg. Sainz is sitting there.
I'm sure he's fine.
I know we talked about this last week. But
whatever. It's still Ferrari. I mean, who knows? And I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
I don't either. We'll just see how it plays out.
Yeah, but I guess I did. I said while we were watching the race how like they asked Sainz to give up the position to Norris, you know, I'm like, okay, good. He's like, getting some like practice in.
You better get used to that.
Yeah, better get used to that because that's basically what he'll do.
Ferrari job. Yeah. To move over for Leclerc.
Yep.
Yep. Exactly. So great day for McLaren. Exciting day for McLaren. Fifth and ninth. And Sainz had the fastest lap.
Oh, okay.
So I think maybe he, I'm not sure, but I think he probably could have finished higher than ninth, but like pitted one more time to put on sticky tires and then go around for the fastest lap.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Sainz is obviously a really good driver.
He is obviously very talented. Third place in the rain, qualifying like that, right behind Verstappen and Hamilton. Super solid. He's obviously very, very good, which just raises the question, how good is Lando going to be? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's McLaren. Super exciting day for McLaren. I have Racing Point next.
Okay.
The pink Mercedes.
Yeah.
We already did kind of cover a little bit of their day or their weekend in the pre-race where mm-hmm. they qualified really low. The story of the day for Racing Point for me was Sergio Perez.
Yeah.
Because
I don't even know what Lance Stroll did.
Yeah. I mean, he was up there. He ran in the points. And we will talk about him because he played into Lando's fifth place.
Okay.
So Sergio went from 17th to almost fourth.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is just A, brilliant driving,
mm-hmm.
and B, how fast is the Racing Point car? We don't even know yet because they've had some unlucky circumstances, mm-hmm. you know, in both weeks that have kind of masked maybe just how fast they are.
Hmm.
So like, for example, not being able to set up the car in the wet. Okay. That doesn't mean their car is not super fast when it's dry.
Yeah, most of the time it's not going to be raining.
Exactly. Probably. So, and then they go from 17th to 4th, which just looks incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
Not 4th, 5th. And then, so Perez is running in 5th place right towards the end of the race, 3 laps or 4 laps left, and he goes for an overtake on a Red Bull.
Yeah.
Albon.
Right.
And knocks his front wing off on Albon's rear tire, and then just slows immensely, which is kind of interesting. It just goes to show you how important the aerodynamics of the cars are. You lose your wing like that and then cars just go zipping past you.
Yeah.
You know, so damages his wing. He still wins driver of the day, deservedly, I think. Kind of an arbitrary distinction, but he did win driver of the day. Stroll battled with Ricardo for most of the end of the race and struggled to pass him.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we're kind of hard on Stroll. I mean,
yeah.
we're not the only ones who are kind of hard on Stroll.
Yeah. I refuse to not be hard on him.
I did find it a little bit of schadenfreude
mm-hmm.
that Perez passed. Like, it was Ricardo, Perez, Stroll at one point. So, mm-hmm. so Renault, Racing Point.
Mm-hmm.
And Perez got past Ricardo
mm-hmm.
and then zoomed off. Into the whatever.
Sunset.
I don't know what. Yeah. Anyway, drove into away.
The midfield. And
went off and almost and caught Albon and then knocked his front wing off.
Right.
And Stroll just got stuck behind Ricardo.
Yeah.
And so that just kind of goes to show that's like a direct comparison of the driver ability. They're in the same car.
Mm-hmm.
Perez is able to get past Ricardo and drive away. Stroll's not.
I mean, I guess Stroll qualified higher than him.
He did.
So that's something.
Yeah.
He's, yeah, I and mean, he didn't obviously have a horrible he's like competent. Day.
Yes, of course. You're not a Formula One driver if you're not like a really good race car driver.
Yeah.
You know, and he is in a fast car and he should have an okay season. He's just not as good as some of the other drivers. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just not. And
just the product of nepotism.
Yeah, which a lot of them are. I mean, that's,
he's yeah, not, that's he's certainly that's, not. I'm sure that's one. True.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, it's easy to pick on someone who it looks very apparent, like, oh, my dad bought a team and gave me a race drive when they're
for now.
Yeah, no kidding. When there's like rumors that he might even get replaced that's and his dad awesome. Might fire him. Oh my god! And I've been saying on the podcast. Yep, I've been saying on the podcast, Lawrence Stroll, you do not become a businessman unless you are like Lawrence, or you do not become a billionaire businessman unless you are bloodthirsty and ruthless, and that man will fire his son. I promise you he will fire his son. I guarantee it. That guy is about winning and being the best, and if his son, my dad would fire me.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. Anyway, Stroll said after the race that he believes they have the second fastest car. Not even third. Second
Stroll
fastest.
Said that?
Yeah.
After. The big Stroll or little Stroll?
Little Stroll.
Okay.
So speaking of the Stroll battle with Ricardo, so it was Ricardo, Stroll, and then Norris right at the end. And then Stroll went for this overtake on Ricardo that was really
ill-conceived.
Yeah, ill-conceived, ill-measured.
Mm.
He went in way too deep.
Pulled a Charles.
Yeah, and then just kind of missed the apex and then drove way off. His speed carried him off the track, and Ricardo just kind of had to steer away from him and steer way off the track.
Mm, yeah, I remember seeing that this morning.
Yeah, and Ricardo said it should have been a penalty. And I think a lot of people would probably agree with that, because mm-hmm. if that's like not a penalty, then what is a penalty,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't just like dive down the inside of the corner and then miss your overtake and then just steer the other guy off the road and be like, oh, my bad, man. You know, let's just mm-hmm. try again next corner or whatever.
Well, did Hamilton get a penalty last week for the Albon thing?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
That was his 5-second penalty.
I mean, it's almost like maybe if he'd like crashed Ricardo, maybe it would have been a penalty, but since he like
and exactly maybe? And that's the thing, is that the stewards are having a hard time, or they're getting a hard time I should say, from fans and pundits, because it's kind of like, what's a penalty now?
Yeah,
why didn't Leclerc get a penalty?
Yeah,
he flew up on top of another car.
Yeah,
he just drove into the pile of cars and went flying up on top of one of his competitors. Isn't that a penalty?
Well, what would, if you don't even finish the race, what would a penalty do? Maybe that like, he penalty penalized for next himself. Week,
you yeah. know?
Oh, okay.
I mean, if that's not a penalty, what's a penalty in racing?
Like, I have no idea what a penalty is in racing, yeah. So.
Exactly. Apparently nobody does at this point.
Okay,
but,
good.
So... So anyway, so Stroll went in way too deep and drove Ricardo off the track, but that's what gave Lando his opening, because it slowed them both way down. And then I like jumped up out of my seat and was like, go get him, Lando. And he did. And he went and got him. So,
yay.
Speaking of Daniel Ricciardo, the next team on our list is Renault. Oh, that wasn't very good.
Renault.
Ocon had cooling issues and retired the car.
Yeah, it was smoking, the car.
Yep, car got too hot to handle, which is now the second week in a row that a Renault has retired from cooling issues.
Oh, really?
Last week it was Daniel's car, this week it was Ocon's car. So doesn't look good. Remember, Ricardo started on the medium tires. He was the only one in the top. You don't remember that. That's not what I was asking if you remember. But he was asking to pass Ocon early in the race.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Remember?
Uh-huh.
And they didn't let him. And so they ended up battling each other a little bit.
Mm.
Which is fine. You know, that happens. But it was a little bit edgy, because Ocon has a reputation for battling his teammates maybe a little bit too hard sometimes.
Oh, really?
When he was teammates with Sergio at Checo at when they were Force India.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And they wrecked into each other like quite a bit.
Oh, no.
Every other race they were taking each other off the track. And like half of the time it was Sergio's fault, and half of the time it was Ocon's fault. And
not what you want.
Not what you want. And so... when Ricardo is saying, I'm faster, I have better tires, let me by, and then they don't. And then he's trying to pass Ocon, and Ocon has his elbows out, you know, then you're kind of like, oh, Ocon has a history of wrecking his teammates. And it got kind of, I don't know, it was intriguing for a while. But then Ocon's car blew up, and it did. So.
Formula One.
Yeah, I know. So really, though, long story short for Renault is maybe they should have just let Daniel by, because when you put him on the medium tires, if the medium tires look like they're working better, you know, the whole point is to have two different strategies. And if one, you know, Ocon is on softs, Ricardo's on mediums, and Ricardo is going faster, just let him by. And
do you think Ocon would have done it?
Well, if he was told to.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think yes, if he was told to, he would. I mean, okay. I don't think as a, such a young driver on a first year on a team, he would just be like, no, you know, no. I wonder if they speak French to him. Of course they do. That's a dumb question.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how the other drivers feel about that, Ocon is French on the French team, and he can walk around and be like, je suis, je t'aime, you know, and, sacré bleu, you know, and say all the French stuff.
That's okay.
Why and everybody's would that... speaking.
They might not, because isn't. I mean, it seems like a lot of people speak English.
Well, they are technically based in, not technically, literally, their base is in England.
They're in Stone. Probably like him and his team, or like, you know.
He and Cyril.
Yeah. They scheme en français.
Right, absolutely. They do.
Yeah, sure.
But wouldn't that make you feel like coffee. You're like. It's kind of like his team, not your team.
No,
like
who cares? I mean, well, no.
French driver on the French team?
That's, you're saying it like with suspicion, like
no, I'm
it
just
ain't
saying,
right.
No, I'm not saying it's not right. I'm just saying I would feel a little bit like
what less. What are you guys talking like, about over there?
Exactly.
Whatever. Ricardo's already alienated himself like way before.
Okay, that is true. But I'm just saying a different driver in that situation.
Maybe a different driver, but you just have to be good natured about it. I mean, because it's like, of course, it'd be very natural to speak in your native tongue to someone else who also spoke in your native tongue.
Yeah, they're not going to. Cyril and Esteban are not going to speak English to each other.
Right. I guess just, I mean, I work in a workplace where plenty of my staff are native Spanish speakers, and they speak to each other in Spanish or into management and different things, and like that's it's like fine. I'm just like I completely understand. I don't doesn't bother me at all, you know.
Yeah it's just such a competitive atmosphere, you know. You're competing so strongly against your teammate is your first rival, you know, and if he has that ingratiated nature to the rest of the team and you don't.
But it is a business, so it's like if you're a good driver, that's what matters. True. Not like it what language you speak, and they all have a good command of English, seems like. So it's not like I mean enough to, you know, I don't think you'd be losing out like, oh, the level of communication is so bad with me and not with him.
No, I just think it would make it feel like he was a little bit more, like I said, like ingratiated to the team in a way that you weren't, just like culturally and socially, like in a way he was like understood and appreciated. Like,
I don't think that matters at the end of the day.
We've got one new front wing. We produced one new front wing. Who's going to get it?
The better driver. The driver that's going to give him points.
Maybe. And that's why I guess who his teammate is next year.
I forget.
Fernando Alonso.
Oh, God, I blocked it out.
I know. So you're going to have Alonso, who wants it to be his team, and you're going to have Ocon, who wants it to be his team, because he's the French driver on the French team, and you're going to have Alonso.
You think
who
Ocon's
wants...
that saucy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was saucy. Oh.
Yeah, he's very saucy.
Okay.
I mean, they're all just so competitive.
Yeah.
They're all just so competitive. I think at the end of the day, they would do anything to win.
I would be, like, shuddering in my boots if I knew that...
Alonso is coming.
My little driver's booties.
Little booties. Anyway, so that's all for Renault. What else? Anything else about Renault? I like Daniel still a lot. It's fun to watch Daniel drive maybe a not very good car and outperform. I think he's probably outperforming that car a little bit so far this season. And
maybe said it last time, but I am excited for him to go to McLaren because he'll be in a good car.
Yep, absolutely. Like, I think that's the right move. I think that was a smart move. At this point in his career, it's going to turn out to be the right thing to do. Next up, I have AlphaTauri. You got to say AlphaTauri.
Uh-huh, right. AlphaTauri.
Like towel.
Tauri.
Gasly looked extremely good in qualifying, which was surprising. Surprising to me. I mean, he's just certainly hasn't been known historically as an especially great wet driver.
He hasn't been known as a bad wet driver.
Yeah, he's occasionally quick. A led Kvyat for most of the race, but then they had him on a strange strategy where they put him on hard tires. He was the only driver on the white walled tires for a while, and then they were just like, this isn't working, and he was really slow, and so they brought him in for an extra pit stop and put him back onto mediums.
Oh.
So they kind of wasted his race strategy-wise. And then Kvyat finished ahead of him. So that's about it for AlphaTauri. I mean, honestly, not a very interesting team.
No.
And I don't like their livery.
I know. They were cooler when they were Toro Rosso.
Everybody says
cooler.
How cool their livery is. And I just, what? I don't, yeah. I think it, I've, I, nah. As soon as it came out, I was like, boring.
I liked the old one better.
Way better. I wish they were still Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really matter, but it's better that way.
Yeah, it is.
Makes more sense. Mm-hmm. Especially because they like still have the bull in the car.
Yeah.
Just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then I noticed that, you know, that little swirly thing I pointed out to you? Mm-hmm. I think I noticed it's supposed to be an A and a T.
but it's all messed up looking.
But I don't even know if that's true. Maybe it's not. So I just don't even know what's going on with that car. Mm-mm. Anyway, so AlphaTauri. Next up on the list, I have Alfa Romeo, the other Alphas. Like Haas, who's also next, who's next on the list after Alfa Romeo, slow because of the Ferrari engines, probably.
But they made it through the race,
they did make it through the race. Raikkonen's wheels stayed on.
Yeah.
Remember last week his wheel went flying off?
Yeah.
I think they were a little bit pacier than last week, but still.
So. Well, Giovinazzi was like ahead of Raikkonen for a little bit.
For a little bit, but Raikkonen did end up passing him and finishing ahead of Giovinazzi. But it's basically at this point, like the Alfa Romeos and the Haas are battling the Williams. They're so slow.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Or Williams is so
Williams fast, is. I know, and we'll say that. We'll get to that here in a second because Williams is coming up on our list. So Alpha, you know, we joked a little bit last week how they're probably like okay with where they're at. They just don't seem like they mind too much. But at the same time, they're an extremely historic team. And you just have to wonder, like, how long a team is going to just play the role of like second fiddle to Mercedes and want to stick around. Like, they're trying to sell cars.
Right.
They are a car manufacturer, you know? And if you're like, you should buy an Alfa Romeo, look at our Formula One team, who's really terrible and slow and blows up all the time. And has, you know, like that doesn't sell cars, you know, like,
I had a question, but I forgot.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't remember if this is a NASCAR thing or a Formula One thing, but they used to say like win on Sunday, sell on Monday. You know, like
just imagine. I don't know why that's so funny to me. Like people are like, I'm gonna go buy one of those cars.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, well, the Chevrolets sure do seem to win all the time in NASCAR. And like back in the day, that was a huge marketing strategy, you know?
Okay, because, but it's a different car. You're not buying the NASCAR car.
Well, you kind of are. They're stock cars, you know, they used to be.
It's like the same engine?
No, not anymore. I mean, goodness gracious, now they're just straight up beastly race cars. Right. But they used to be like actual just cars from the street.
I see.
People drove from the street onto the racetrack. And then
that makes sense.
Yeah. But still, I mean, like, yeah, you know, Alfa Romeo is a car manufacturer. Mm-hmm. They're trying to they're in Formula One for marketing purposes.
Oh, I remember.
That's the whole reason.
I remember my question. Okay. They're not like, are they a feeder team for a bigger team?
Ferrari.
Okay, so is
they're,
that maybe
they're basically
a
like the Toro Rosso of Ferrari?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's what keeps them in?
Yeah. No, I think that definitely is what keeps them in. That's part of it. Ferrari have like control, and they do. I'm not sure if this is totally true for Haas or not too, but you know, Haas is kind of like a Ferrari junior team too,
because
they buy parts from Ferrari, and they basically have like a imitation Ferrari car.
Mm.
Ferrari get to determine one of the two drivers at Alfa Romeo. Alfa Romeo gets to pick one driver and Ferrari get to pick the other driver.
Oh, so who's
Giovinazzi is the Ferrari driver.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Raikkonen just like he like I think Raikkonen even at this point like owns part of Alfa Romeo.
This is his retirement.
Yeah, it's his hobby, literally, quote unquote. So anyway, that's pretty much it for Alfa Romeo. They're really slow. Compared to last year, battling the Haas and Williams at the back of the grid, probably because their Ferrari engines are no longer allowed to cheat. Which leads me on to the other Ferrari engined team, our American compatriots, Haas. By the way, British people, here is an announcement to British people. It is pronounced Haas.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, Haas would be H-A-S-S.
And also just, different accents sometimes. And stuff, but I hear a lot of chatter about like how it's pronounced on these other podcasts I listen to. Love you guys. Much support, much love. Haas. Say it with me. Haas.
Like how does the team owner say the name?
Haas. Gene
then,
Haas.
Yeah, then that's it.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. So Haas, not Haas. Or not. I don't know how else you would say it, but yeah, Haas. That's it.
Haas.
Anyway, okay. Magnussen has a good race, even though he was damaged in the Leclerc torpedo.
Oh, no.
A little bit. He got a little bit of damage, I think, to the floor or something, or he just got bumped. But Magnussen looked, again, kind of racy. Like, he was 11th, 12th, 14th, 12th, 11th, 12th, you know. I don't think he was ever really looking like he was threatening the points, but it was nice to see Magnussen still. You know, I like K-Mag. I mean, he looked a little racy. He looked like he was kind of leading the... And now the
caboose.
Yeah, the caboose. It really, it's almost like three divisions now. It's kind of like, you know, you've got your Mercedes and Red Bulls and, golly, almost like Racing Points at the front. Then you've got your midfield, and then you've got your Haas, Alfa Romeo, and Williams at the back. And it looked like Magnussen was leading the Tier 3 championship for a while. And he did finish ahead of Grosjean.
Well, everyone did.
Well, no, Grosjean wasn't last.
He wasn't last?
No,
Latifi was last. He was for a while.
Was he?
Wasn't he?
I don't think so.
I thought he was just complete.
No, Latifi brought up the rear for most of the race. But importantly for Haas, both cars finished.
So
so they got a whole race worth of data. They didn't wreck into each other, even though they did race each other a little bit. And both cars finally finished a race. Although they only beat Williams.
The Williamses.
So that brings us to Williams. Georgie boy, gorgeous George.
Who's calling him that?
Everybody.
Who?
That's what he's called, gorgeous George.
Why?
I don't know. It's because
he's not gorgeous.
It's alliterative.
How about beguiling that? I don't know. I'll come
he's
up with a better
one. He's definitely not beguiling
either. No, he's not. It's even less so. He needs a better haircut before we start throwing words like gorgeous around.
Okay, well, I love George, so I'm going to call him Gorgeous George because it's a good name. Sounds like a boxer.
Yeah, it does. That is kind of cool.
Yeah. So he qualified 12th and then ended up 11th after homeboy Leclerc had a penalty. So that's super cool. I mean, for Williams to be all the way 11th in qualifying, yeah. I think Claire Williams called it a shot in the arm.
What?
Like a good thing, oh. like a steroid shot or like a vitamin B12 shot or something. Not like right. someone shot you with a gun. And we're from right. Texas, so when we hear you get shot in the arm, we're like,
or
well,
just like
good.
Drug related, or it's just a little weird.
Yeah,
I guess I'd be like veins. But anyway.
Anyway, so George qualified 12th and then started 11th. He went for an overtake on Magnussen on the very first lap and
cheeky.
And lost the car, unfortunately.
Went to the gravel.
He had an off. Oh. Magnussen is not the guy you want to try to overtake on the first
He's
lap.
Like, I will.
Magnussen is a Viking.
Yeah, he'll put his life on the line.
I know. I heard somebody say once, I think it was Martin Brundle, that he was like, Magnussen, when he passes you, he's going to take a paddle out and whack you over the... An oar.
Oh,
you know?
It's like the Lindisfarne Abbey all over again.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's when the... Should I explain it or not? Like when the first
Keep
Viking...
It brief.
The first Viking attack on the British Isles.
Okay.
Anyway.
So yeah, okay. He was like... Martin Brundle was like, Magnussen's not only going to pass you, but he's going to take out an oar and whack you over the head while he does it. So anyway, yeah. Magnussen is known for being an especially strong defensive driver. I didn't see the overtake, but I just know George was trying to overtake Magnussen, lost the car. So that was disappointing because it would have been fun to see George race in the midfield for most of the race. So George loses the car, goes off, pits, is last for a while, still beats Latifi.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah, so Latifi ends up last. Aside that, the news for Williams is that they were last. Stroll, 19th. Latifi, 20th. Could Stroll have finished higher ahead of the Haases and Alfa Romeos? Maybe, probably. That wouldn't have shocked me if he hadn't have gone off. At least ahead of, you know, maybe Grosjean, maybe Giovinazzi. And they are closer to the caboose than they were last year. You know, they have improved. Williams has gotten better. So, they're still definitely the worst team, but they are a little bit better.
Yeah, that's kind of their thing. You know, we're the worst team.
Well, it is now. It didn't used to be. Their thing used to be we're the best team.
How long ago were they good?
They in 2014, they were third in the Drivers' Championship or something like that at the Constructors' Championship. Wow. When they had Bottas and Nico Rosberg were their drivers.
Went south, huh?
Quickly. I don't know if they were even very good, but prior to that in the 2010s or in the aughts. And then in the 90s, they were very good, you know.
Yeah, that's 30 years
and
ago.
And then in like the 70s, they were very good. And well, you know, there were, so they've had their periods of dominance throughout the many, many decades they've been part of the sport. So obviously, part of the reason why so many people love them is because they've been around for so long.
Sure.
And they've been so good. And they're just, you know, the British garagistas. So it's exciting to see them improve a little bit. And it's super exciting to watch George Russell. Should George Russell just have the seat at Mercedes next year? No. Do you think they should replace Bottas? Why not?
He's still really young, isn't he?
Yeah, he's probably like 16.
I mean, yeah, I think there's probably such a thing as putting them in too soon.
Oh, there definitely is such a thing. I mean, you don't want him to get in the second car and then just get waxed by Hamilton and lose all his confidence. And
yeah, I mean, exactly, right. Put them in like once they're phasing Hamilton out or once Hamilton's ready to retire, like a year or two before that.
Yeah. Plus right now they have a good thing going with Bottas. Yeah. They don't really need to change anything.
No.
It would kind of just be if they really feel like George is ready, like they're going to do the opposite and hurt his career by not putting him in the car.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to hurt his career by keeping him in a slow car.
Yeah.
So that's it for Der große Preis der Steuermark.
Mm-hmm.
Danke
mm-hmm.
schön.
Danke.
Für bitte. Deine Hilfe. For your help.
Mm.
Mit meinem Podcast. With my podcast. With our podcast. With the podcast. Yeah. It's not my podcast. It's everyone's podcast.
It's Matt's podcast.
Next week we go to the Hungaroring.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Hungaro?
Hungaroring in Hungary, in Budapest.
Yeah, they have an interesting... There's a language.
There's a language.
Magyar?
Nobody
Magyar? It's
speaks
wild.
That language.
Well, right.
That's a crazy... It's, yeah, Magyar is what it's called. Magyar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have like,
it takes a long
I can't,
time
can't help
to,
you with that grammar.
Yeah, and well, no. Nobody can. Mm-mm. It takes a really long time to like say anything in that language.
Really long words.
I think, yeah. Like, I just remember being there and like there'd be like a bilingual sign in a store, you know, and it'd be don't, you know, you exit
no smoking.
Or whatever. And then like the Hungarian Magyar would be like
a paragraph
long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. The Hungaroring next week. We'll maybe sneak a little preview episode in there or I will.
Oh, wow.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean,
let's
it is quarantine. I have
promises.
Been. I do have a busy week coming up. Oh, man. Yeah, we look forward to that.
Yep.
Three races in a row. Max was kind of complaining about that. About not really complaining,
what?
But he was just saying how, you know, he thinks maybe the condensed schedule might be a little too hard on some of the team members and drivers.
Just don't they usually race?
Nah, they don't usually do three in a row. And they have like two different three races in a rows planned. Two different back-to-back-to-backs, triple headers, they call them.
You'd think they'd be like raring to go.
I think so. I mean, I think it's just, of course, all the travel and being away from your family and being like in lockdown and isolation. And it's just, it's typical for them to say like, this is really hard on the like mechanics who, you know, are away from their family.
And if
for
they're
like
truly
a month
isolating
straight,
and not
you know?
Clubbing in Monaco, then that would take a toll. Sure.
I mean, I think literally like it's not unusual. It's kind of a joke or maybe sounds like an exaggeration, but like people get divorced because of their careers in Formula One, because you just spend so much time away from your family.
Yeah.
And so when there's a race and then a week or two in between and then you get to go home and then that's a huge difference in a race and then you have to stay in Austria, then there's a race, then I have to fly to Hungary, then I get to go home
mm-hmm.
for 3 days and then I have to go back and then do it all over again.
Right.
You know, so I see my family for like 72 hours over the course of like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Max was like, Formula One isn't everything. And I'm like, I don't know, Max. It kind of seems like Formula One is everything to you.
Yeah. I mean, what else has he got going on?
Sim racing.
I guess his fashion line.
Max Raw.
I forgot about that.
Oh, my God.
No.
Don't call it that.
Max medium well. At least.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I don't even know. What is max raw?
Is it like raw denim? That's a thing.
Is it?
I don't denim? Know. Denim. There's a thing called the called it's like, raw denim.
Where it's like not colored or anything. Yeah. Or not like...
it's, yeah. Lewis Hamilton could tell you about it.
I bet. I bet. Man, Lewis Hamilton got some hate on the Twitters this week.
Oh, really? Oh, let's he just got. Not talk yeah. About Twitter. No, let's not.
Anyway, Lewis, thanks for tuning right? in. Lewis will be all right. Max will be all right. Any final thoughts? Did you enjoy the race? Exciting race?
It was boring, but it was okay.
Good. Boring? Why? Because Hamilton and Bottas won.
Well, no Ferraris, and yeah, the 1-2-3 was
the normal.
I mean, it was fine. No, you're right. There was midfield stuff. No, it was good. I don't want to complain.
Okay.
I don't want to end on a negative note.
No,
it was great.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Hungary.
Yep. All right. On that note, we'll say goodbye. Bye. Thanks for tuning in.